Special report. President Biden has just announced a package of sanctions against Russia 1 week after the death of opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Correspondent Weijia Jiang is at the White House.
Mr. Biden says these sanctions will ensure that Vladimir Putin pays an even steeper price for his aggression abroad and repression at home. They will target individuals connected to Navalny's imprisonment and what the White House calls Russia's brutal and illegal war in Ukraine.
They are the largest set of economic restrictions on Russia and Russian targets since the war began.
One goal of the sanction is to cripple Russia's military. So in new details, we're learning they target more than 500 companies, banks, and individuals inside and outside of Russia.
President Biden met with Navalny's widow and daughter yesterday. His mother says she was allowed to see her son's body, but Russian officials are pressuring her to agree to a secret burial. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic. One would let churches and other houses of worship stay open during public health emergencies. It needs to be passed by lawmakers one more time. The other would give the legislature more say on how federal money is spent. That amendment now goes to a statewide referendum in November. Governor Evers says he'll veto a Republican bill to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin, but Representative Jeffrey Meursault says the bill has important legal protections for innocent landowners.
That's the whole crux of this whole bill is trying to get stuff cleaned up without taking and making somebody liable that had nothing to do with it.
Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The search for 3-year-old Elijah View, missing from Two Rivers, has moved to a nearby landfill, with the FBI now assisting in the investigation. Elijah disappeared Tuesday morning, resulting in the arrest of his mother and her boyfriend on child neglect charges. The FBI was seen searching a landfill about 40 miles from where he disappeared. There's also a search still going on closer to home. Waukesha County investigators are expanding their search operation for missing 16-year-old Isaiah Kramer. Starting this summer, babies will no longer be born at a Menominee Falls hospital. Fraidert and the Medical College of Wisconsin says families expecting to deliver at Fraidert Menominee Falls on or before July 1st may continue to do so. However, after that date, families delivering babies will have to give birth elsewhere, including the main Fraidert campus or Fraidert West Bend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Baseball gets started tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' first exhibition game of spring training out in Arizona tomorrow against the Padres. The first pitch at 2:10 Central Time. There's been talk that Sal Frelick will play some third base this spring. When will that happen? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
First day. He's special, man. The kid's special. He can do it. That people ask me, why is he doing it? Because he can. If anybody can do it, it's Sal.
NBA, the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. Milwaukee will be without Chris Middleton, still dealing with an ankle injury. NFL, Packers' Matt LaFleur introducing Jeff Hafley as the team's new defensive coordinator.
Certainly have always had respect for him from afar as a football coach. He's worked with my brother at two different stops. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan at two different stops in Cleveland and San Francisco. And I know how those guys, how much respect they have for him as a person first and a coach second.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mm-hmm. It is going to be cloudy and a lot cooler today with a few off and on flurries or even a snow shower or two possible throughout the day. Our high 35, the wind north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 18. Tomorrow, sunny, 35. We're going to bounce back Sunday, sunshine, 50. We're talking sunshine mid-50s by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alma. Friday noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This is a
big party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to Calvin, the guy who's going to be on the other end, as always, answering all of these calls and making sure that we continue to move down the right path. Calvin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. You been enjoying the weather the last couple of days?
Yeah, I took the dog out last night when I got home.
Did you bring him back?
Yes, I brought him back.
Okay, that's good.
You and I have been talking about this 60-degree weather, Calvin. So I jumped on you the other day because you didn't get out much. It was 60 degrees. Yesterday it was 60. You only took the dog out, or did you really get out and have a chance to frolic in 60-degree weather?
I really only took the dog out, but he loved it, so it was a good time.
Calvin, shorts, 60 degrees.
Shorts or long pants, Cal?
I did it right after work, so I still had pants on.
60 degrees in February, back to back, and Calvin, a young guy, spent most of that time in the house.
Well, you know, today's. You told me it's going to be 20 tonight. But it's going to be 60 again on Tuesday.
I know. I got to get this.
Yeah, we're hopscotching our way into a spring.
Yeah. Anyway, if you don't know by now, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, I saw the future yesterday. I went into an Apple store and tried out the Pro Vision goggles. Oh my God! You know, this is like you're not prepared for it, and Apple has created some immersion videos that are breathtaking. Some of them are like walking across a fjord on a tightrope, but also prehistoric animals. I had a velociraptor put his head in my lap.
So Sandy, I think I know you by now. Did you buy one, or are you going to buy one?
I did.
You already bought it. So I've been reading about it, Sandy.
I'll bring it in.
Well, I've been reading about it, and there are people who have been taking them back because it's more than what they can handle.
Yeah, I dreamed, to be honest with you, I had bad dreams. I had bad dreams last night about velociraptors and these pterodactyl flying birds. And, oh, my God. I mean, you cannot believe how realistic it is. I mean, it is, you are there. You are in it. And it is, you know, there was a hippopotamus. I mean, a rhinoceros right there next to me. And literally, I thought I could smell it.
So let me ask you, there are people who've had headaches and other things from this because it was, again, more than they could have even imagined and terrified some of them. Could you see that?
Well, I could see it. I mean, I have to say I did shout out loud a couple of times when this when this pterodactyl thing had his head in my lap. I was like, ho-ho, But it's breathtaking. It's technology. It's definitely, I mean, I'm sure it's going to get much less cumbersome and much cheaper over time. And it is the future. I tell you, first of all, it is a computer. So there's a computer screen. And, you know, up comes, when you have to do something, up comes a little typing board that's in front of you virtually in your eyes, and you touch it with your fingers and you're typing.
So Sandy, you've got this thing on your head.
Yeah, you look like a total geek. I want you to know. It's true geekiness.
But that's got to be pretty light, though, right?
They've designed it well. It fits on your head. It's cushioned, and there's no light that gets in. And
But
you can change it so you can look out, and you can be seeing through it and see the room that you're in. You can do this. You can put, like, a particular app up on the screen like you do on your computer. You put it up in your office or your library room in your house, and then you walk into the kitchen, and it's not there. And you walk back to the library, and there it is. It's still there. It knows where you are and where it is.
So let me ask you, if at that time you have this thing on your head, and you know, your mind is focused solely on that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, yeah. Your mind is solely going to be focused on that while you're there. Other things around you, you can't.
No, the way it's set up, you can be seeing everything around you as well. So you can have it like, there can be like a movie screen in front of you, and behind the movie screen is your room, and you can see it. You know, you're not seeing it directly. You're seeing it through a lens that's in these goggles, but it looks just like it would otherwise look. And then you can also tune that out. You can wind a little knob on the thing, and you can create Yosemite or something is around you instead of the room. And then these app, you know, the screens are wherever you want to put them.
So your mind is focusing on that. What about the real world?
Yeah, well, that's
it takes you away. From, thing. I would think
the real world. I will tell you this: it is so realistic that I'm afraid that in the long run, as they develop this thing, the real world will become a thing of the past.
Well, but my point is, we live in the real world. So why you're
yeah, but the real world is the real world is our perception, right? Oh, now we can get into some real philosophy, right? So what we're living in right now, at this office, this studio out there, those are all our perceptions.
Right.
Well, it's real because of the reality that we have. But if you had goggles on and you saw everything and it looked just as real as this, but it was something different, it was a fjord in Norway, then you'd be there, right?
So how can I, Sandy, and if you're just joining us, it's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy is taking us on, what kind of world would you call this?
Virtual.
A virtual world.
In immersion, you know, these are immersion experiences in a virtual world, but it is so real that I'm confident that in the long run, it's going to become an alternative reality, not a virtual world, an alternative reality seeming thing. And like I said, I saw the future.
Hey, Sam.
It's different.
This sounds like
Twilight Zone. Exactly.
Twilight Zone stuff that's real now. But I guess what I'm saying to you, you can kind of get taken away in this.
Absolutely.
So, and lose track of time and things that you have to do because of the realness of it—is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, this would make world travel to some extent unnecessary. If you're traveling to go look at the fjords of Norway, you don't need to travel. You can put these things on. I did, and there we were in a fjord of Norway, and this woman was stringing up a line so she could tightrope walk across the fjord. And then she did that, and you did it with her. And oh my God, that was scary. And the hippopotamus, I mean, the rhino reserve in South Africa, I was there, saw this.
Well, that sounds, to me, that sounds like something I would really, really want to at least check out. But it's a whole thing altogether. Another thing altogether when, you know, people get kind of addicted to their computers, they addicted to their phones. Can you see a possibility of them being addicted to this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I said. I think reality might be checking. We might be checking out of reality in the long run because you can choose your reality with this kind of a thing. And it is just to, I'm not exaggerating. It is as real as you can believe something would seem. You think you could touch it.
Well, I know all the things that I've read about it, and recently that people are taking them back because it's more than what they can
fathom.
Yeah, more than they can handle, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of frightening to some.
Well, to me, I'm just intrigued, you know, so I'm a techie sort of guy. And so I'm intrigued by this kind of thing. And this is a big leap. This is a big leap forward in terms of an experience, a technological experience.
Well, not to mention $3,500.
It's a big leap. It's a big wad of money too. And that's why, you know, and that's the way I remember the first computers were very expensive and they get cheaper. And this thing will definitely get cheaper. It's complex. It'll never be cheap. But it's certainly going to get cheaper.
So once you put these things on your face,
mm-hmm.
there's not some unit or something that you can stick into it that you buy separately, or it's all contained.
It's all contained. There's a battery that you could put in your pocket. That's the battery. But the goggles themselves are a computer. 512K of memory a guy got, and it's a computer that can do everything your Mac can do, just about. And, you know, you can type documents, you can read documents, you can read magazines, you can watch movies, but the movies is what's going to change. I mean, I watched a Pixar 3D segment of a movie, and the three-dimension aspect of it is, like, profound, you know. So it's, yeah.
So, Sandy, as a mayor,
but I did dream about Velociraptors last night. Kept me awake.
As a married guy, you know, you and I have been married for a lot of years.
Where are you going?
Well,
world. I only watch things like Pixar and stuff on
no,
this.
No.
What are you talking about?
You and I can just envision us sitting at home. We've got these things on. The wife's being tuned out. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Hours have gone by, right?
For sure.
Hey.
For sure.
I
said, an alternative reality. There you go. It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate escape.
Hey, so here's the text. The old man used to tell me that I smoked pot to escape reality.
Yeah. This is the new pot.
Oh, all right. Listen, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. When we get back, it's amazing, Sandy, talking about escaping reality. We're going to talk about the stigma of marijuana and whether or not that's been lifted. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy, and escapism.
Yeah.
The rule of the day.
Pick it loud and pick it sound. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Ooh. Right on. Right on.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matinee on Air.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
Hey, Sandy, have you ever heard that?
This song?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is early. This is 50s. This is late 50s, I'll bet.
61.
Okay, all right. That was close.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. You were really close. Yeah. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number as promised. We're going to talk a little bit about the stigma of marijuana and whether or not it's been lifted. Sandy, what
you mean reefer madness?
Yeah. It wasn't so long ago that if you smoke weed and you wanted to apply for a job, it used to be they would take a urine sample. And people found a way to get around the urine samples. And if the corporation really wanted to make sure that you weren't a partaker in marijuana, they would take a hair sample. And the marijuana would stay in the hair sample for a long time.
Yeah, months and months.
Yep. And this would determine whether or not you can get hired. It didn't matter what your credentials were. But if you were a guy who partook in smoking weed, you are a bad risk for a company, and a company didn't want to have anything at all to do with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, it's been relatively recently, because one of the fellows I know from coffee was applying for a job and had to be very careful about ever using it because he was going to get tested and was concerned about the... And it's interesting because the kind of drugs that are probably some that an employer really should be worried about...
They don't test
opioid. For. Well, opioids and things only have a half life in your body of about 24 hours. So they disappear. Marijuana, in terms of looking for it, you can find it in hair, and it's there as long as the hair is there. So it's interesting because marijuana probably did cost a whole bunch of people the opportunity to be employed, and I think as well currently in the major leagues, I think there's a general recognition with marijuana being legal in so many states that an awful lot of professional athletes are partaking, using marijuana. You used to get suspended from the league if you got caught.
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure that what's happening in the league right now is they're not looking. I suspect that the stigma associated with it in professional sports has lifted as a reality.
So not only the stigma in professional sports, Sandy, but I wonder the stigma in the society. It used to be, as a former... partaker in cannabis, you had to hide the fact that you smoke weed because people looked at you as if you were some kind of a criminal. Hey, it was illegal. And so you're breaking the law if you're smoking a joint. So people would certainly not be as open as you see now with people smoking pot and those kinds of things. Because even I remember law enforcement, if they smelled pot, that was a reason enough for them to
search your vehicle.
Yes.
Well, it still is that because it still is unlawful. But it's interesting because it was, you know, there's a lot of jokes about it, but there was this movie, this educational kind of movie, Reefer Madness, yeah, was designed to scare you, and it was always viewed as a gateway drug. And I think the only reason marijuana could be a gateway drug is it introduced you to someone who sold drugs illegally, so you could buy it. And that person might also try to introduce you to other drugs because you now got a drug dealer who's performing this unlawful process of selling you marijuana. None of that happens if you buy marijuana legally. If you go to a dispensary, they're only going to try and sell you marijuana. They aren't going to say, hey, psst, over here, you know, I've got some powder you might want to look at as well. So, you know, I think that the legalization of it has certainly lifted one of the elements of problem associated with it, because it used to be viewed as, you know, I can remember the conversation. Well, it isn't probably very bad itself, but it's a gateway drug.
You know,
it's the beginning.
I just think the whole states can legalize it, but the federal government still says it's illegal. They've got to come to the federal government has to accept the fact that you can't criminalize it if all these states have made it legal. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, currently what's happening is the federal law is just making it cumbersome. Can't use credit cards for it because credit cards are operate under federal aegis, and it's not lawful, okay? So I think you can't use credit cards to buy it, right?
So, no, I don't know, but Sandy, the other part of it, I think, and phone lines open at 844-967-2789, the people who sell it, can they take the profits or the proceeds from it to the bank like anyone else, or is there some other process?
No, I think they can take it to the bank, but I think what's getting cumbersome is the ability to make transactions and use banking processes for the actual purchase transactions.
Which to me is crazy.
Seems crazy.
Yeah. And the government is going to have to make the decision on, hey, I guess what are they waiting for, Sandy, for the state of Wisconsin to be the last ones to say, okay? Because it looks like we're going to be the last state that's probably going to say it's okay.
Well, it seems to be sanctimonious because it doesn't seem to relate to the actual public opinion. When they take public opinion polls anywhere, hell, we took some public opinion polls in Wisconsin using the voting, using the process of voting for people to vote their interest or not in legalization of marijuana, and it won overwhelmingly. So clearly public opinion is no longer stigmatizing the notion of marijuana use.
You know, Sandy.
I mean, there's obviously a stigma associated with alcohol use. I mean, there's a social constraint put on doing things that might end up having an antisocial impact. So, being stoned all the time is probably not a socially viable condition. Similarly, being drunk
all
the time. But
whether or not you drink alcohol or not didn't prevent you from being hired.
Right, exactly.
Right.
It didn't test your hair for alcohol.
Right. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. My guest is Sandy Williams, as always. My co-host is Sandy Williams, as always. We're going to continue this conversation. I got to do this real quick. Tony, I thought dispensaries had to deal in cash because of all the issues with banks, and it was becoming a safety concern. We'll get back to all of that after news, weather, and sports.
Yeah, Tony's right.
That was striking four. I couldn't get you off my mind. I heard the milkman at the door. Cause I was tossing and turning. I was a tossing and turning.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report, sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of proposed changes to education policy in Wisconsin are moving ahead. The State Assembly voted yesterday to grow the Office of School Safety, expand the types of organizations that can license teachers, and to update apprenticeship programs. A Wisconsin Native American leader is praising state officials for increasing affordable housing and working to increase Medicaid reimbursements for tribal hospitals and clinics.
Wisconsin's tribes will see a more than $60 million increase in their federal Medicaid reimbursements. That is likely the most significant financial gain for Wisconsin tribes since the advent of tribal gaming in this state.
Forest County Potawatomi Chairman James Crawford gave yesterday's State of the Tribes speech. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Racine woman was shot in West Bend, with a Milwaukee man now in custody. Police say the 31-year-old female wounded is expected to be okay after taking a bullet to the neck early Wednesday in Washington County. It's believed she was dropped at the hospital with the driver taking off. Video helped police find that car with a Milwaukee man taken into custody for attempted homicide and possession of a firearm by a felon. Do you got a big bus idea? The Milwaukee County Transit System is holding meetings next week to discuss the Connect 2 bus route. It runs from IKEA and Oak Creek up to Bayshore. The project aims to provide better access to jobs, healthcare, and education. The community is invited to attend open house meetings and virtual meetings to learn more about the project and provide feedback. You can check the MCTS website for dates and times. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. HBO has decided to renew True Detective for a fifth season. The show is coming off its fourth and most popular, if not critically acclaimed, season yet. Deadline reports that it is still unclear if the storyline will be a continuation of the most recent True Detective, Night Country, or completely unrelated. Here's a pitch for season 5. The cast has to investigate why season 2 sucked. Can an actor be too old to do a sex scene? One of my favorite actors, Mark Ruffalo, thought yes, but agreed to do one anyway in Oscar-nominated Poor Things. Ruffalo said he's never had to do a scene where he appeared naked and did not want to subject viewers to that much of him. A true professional, though, Ruffalo agreed to do the scene in the name of comedy and to viewer disgust. Don't worry, Mark, I'm half kidding. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and a lot cooler today with a few off and on flurries or even a snow shower or two possible throughout the day. Our high 35, the wind north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 18. Tomorrow, sunny, 35. We're going to bounce back Sunday, sunshine, 50. We're talking sunshine mid-50s by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
follow him.
So, Sandy, this is my tribute to 1961.
Same year.
You remember this one?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And people are wondering, 1961?
Oh, yeah. I was actually a cognizant near adult. You know, it's like, whoa.
But these were the top hits in 1961. Anyway, Sandy, Alabama justice invoked the wrath of a holy God in the in vitro fertilization opinion. Can the United States, can a Supreme Court on a state level, on a national level, should they be invoking a holy God in anything?
Well, and not in my book, okay? You know, the separation of church and state was such a central concept to the Pilgrims and the early founders and the notion that church gets connected to state is so fraught with difficulty. And we can look back in history. We can even look around the world today. We can look at Saudi Arabia and the places that we don't favor in terms of the kind of society that's been created. And we should understand that that's what happens when this connection is made. You know, when you connect a religion or start making religious tests as part of the process, you know, this in vitro fertilization decision is just, it's unbelievable, because in vitro fertilization is something that's used by people who desperately want children. They want to have children. They're spending a good deal of money. They've gone through desperate processes to try and have children and have been unsuccessful. The children that they have will be cared for and loved because they are so desperately wanted. And this decision is basically making it impossible to carry out the in vitro fertilization process, because, you know, the process involves the fertilization of multiple eggs, and not all of the eggs get implanted. Some of the eggs then the fertilized eggs, our embryos, are still there. They get frozen and saved, okay? And they get frozen and saved for the possibility of later implementation. They aren't human beings at that point. They get frozen. They can be revived from being frozen. You know, this is a decision that the only rationale that this judge could give is sort of just cause. And you say, just cause what? And it would have to be just cause a religious view makes this necessary.
You know, Sandy, you said that they aren't human beings yet. That's not what they are saying.
That's not what they're saying.
They're saying these are human beings.
Well, to the extent that a human being involves something that has the genes, the DNA of both a mother and a father, at that instant in time, if that's a human being, then wow, you know, we've got an unbelievable definition. Number one, this thing is not viable, and it can be frozen and saved. You know, that ought to tell you enough.
And so, Sandy, here's we're caught between science and religion. And so who wins out? 844-967-2789 is the number. Really would love to hear your views on this. 844-967-2789. Scientifically,
yeah,
they're clearly saying that's not a human being.
Well, science, first of all, human being is a semantic term, right? You have to decide what it is that constitutes being a human being. But everything that's been talked about in the world of law prior to now about what constitutes a human being has never gotten to the point of describing human being as being the instant of conception, okay? This is my problem with the notion of a Christian nation. If we decide that the United States was born a Christian nation, and that the implication of it being a Christian nation is that lawsuits are determined based on an interpretation of God's will, then we have a serious problem. You know, I've asked callers when they talk about the fact that, yes, we were a Christian nation, born a Christian or a Judeo-Christian nation, I say, what is the implication of that? What does that mean in terms of public policy that should be adopted or the laws that and how they should be enforced. And most people scratch their heads and don't have an answer, which is my concern about it, because either it's a dog whistle or it means that we actually will be interpreting our laws and having judges reach decisions based on their view of a God's will. And I'm not sure which God.
So, Sandy, it's the reason that the founding fathers had the separation. They foresaw this.
Well, they didn't foresee it. They experienced it. Okay. They lived in countries where the church and state were one, you know, and where they were on, where they were not allowed to worship as they chose to worship because it wasn't a correct religion. Now, my concern about the notion that we're a Judeo-Christian religion is, where does that leave people who are Muslim? Where does that leave people who
are Hindus, Buddhists.
Or Buddhists?
Right.
And you know, and should, and will they be legislated out of the capacity to have their religions? I mean, really?
You know, Sandy, it is, and the more you think about it, that is the reason that they the people left and came to America was to get away from that kind of thinking?
Absolutely. You know, the earliest pioneers, the Huguenots, the people who left religious persecution because they were Protestants, okay?
Right.
Most of the pilgrims came to this country because they were Protestants, not Catholics, and it was Catholicism that was reigning and was there was a requirement that people be Catholic, okay? And much like the Ottoman Empire had a process in which, and in fact, they didn't require people to be Muslims. They just taxed the dickens out of them if they weren't Muslims, okay? Which was different than what the Catholics were doing. You know, the Spanish Inquisition was a far cry from what the Ottoman Empire was imposing. The Spanish Inquisition involved torture and death for being a non-Catholic, okay? But in any case, when you join church with state, you've got a problem.
So the Supreme Court was supposed to be the arbiter, and there was supposed to be the conscience that would not see this from the perspective of religion, right? I mean, that's...
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court, yes. And the state Supreme Courts, all of the states promised to abide by the U.S. Constitution as part of the... That's fundamental to their statehood, okay? So they should be abiding by the same principles of constitutional law. And, you know, the notion that we would get to this point is to me, frightening.
So
however, it is the result of a lot of loose talk, I think, about the fact that the United States is a Christian nation.
So it doesn't make one anti-Christian or anti-religion if you challenge a Supreme Court justice making that kind of a statement. He should be challenged, right?
Well, I think so. I think both making the statement and the decision, which is essentially the result of the statement, right?
Right.
Because the only reason for this kind of a decision is the just cause. It's a matter of faith. When you get into religion, there's no arguing. It's a matter of faith. And so, you know, that doesn't permit... That's not really something you can have as the guiding principle of the courtroom.
You know, Sandy, so we're on a slippery slope. If it was just this instance and this situation, you know, you may be able to overlook that. But it's not just this, as we're going to move into some other areas as we move on with today's show that will corroborate that we're on a slippery slope. Let's go to Jim from Appleton. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, guys. How are we all doing this morning?
Fine. Thank you. Your thoughts?
My thoughts to fix this or to at least make it back off and really tie up the courts, if they want biblical law, let's go back to the usury laws and the every 7 years, all debt is wiped out laws. Those are biblical laws, too.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact is that you can go to the Bible and find all sorts of things that could be that could wreak havoc in our society in terms of applying the principles in a very factual kind of a way. You know, you need to these things need to be looked at, and most of them are metaphorical in today's world.
Yeah, and that on the side, I have never found anything in anywhere in the Bible anti-abortion.
Right. Well, you know, hey, Jim, thank you very much for listening, man. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we just know that once you start getting into this, where will it end? Where does it end? You know, it's at, so here's what I would say, Sandy. This clearly points out that individuals don't have rights. We talk about the rights of individuals in this country, right? It's one of the most important aspects of our nation. If someone wants to be involved in in vitro fertilization, where is that my business?
Well, you know, the libertarian, which is the ultimate conservative kind of view of things, which is the government should only intrude in someone's life when the government can demonstrate the public's interest in that intrusion. So there should be essentially a preference for non-intrusion. There should be an assumption that we will not get it, our lives will not be intruded upon by the government unless there is a compelling public purpose. And we're getting away from that. You know, if the compelling public purpose is my religion suggests that we need to intrude into your life, we better be careful because, you know, like the caller just said, there are lots of ways to interpret the Bible with lots of kinds of intrusion, all right? Circumcision, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe that should be a matter of law.
Yeah, well, you mean the circumcision of the heart?
Well, yeah, oh. No. But I'm just saying.
I know what you mean.
There's some very personal matters that are dictated within the Bible. And fine, everyone has a right to have their own value system and to carry it personally. And if their interpretation of the Bible and their value system dictates that they not do something or that they do something, they're free to do that in our country.
Here's a text. What are you talking about? Nobody should be working on the Sabbath? I mean, there's so many. Where do you end it, right?
Right.
Where do you begin? Where do you end if you're going to base these kind of decisions on what the Bible says? Well, there's more than one book, different religious books.
Well, like I said, when you go to law school, all you talk about is a slippery slope. You talk about the logical extremes. You know, if this, then what? Okay. If this, then what could it be? And that's the problem. Once you let it creep into the legal system, once you let religion creep into your government, then where does it stop? You know, and it doesn't stop.
Well, let me say this, because we're going to move on, and this is where we go next. Trump pledges to defend Christianity against the left. He says the left wants to tear down crosses. Sandy.
Yeah.
844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK. My guest is my co-host is Sandy Williams, as always.
Follow him.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
At my company, we're always looking for people who are passionate and ready to work, but it's not always easy. It's time to broaden our horizons. In Wisconsin, about 600,000 people with disabilities are ready and able to work. People that just need you to believe in them and say yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1. On the Shaw, 540 AM WAUK and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Sandy, why can't we go back to 1961? It was such an easy life.
Absolutely. JFK had just been elected.
The music was, you know, palatable.
Yep.
And easy. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're really talking about what, you know, kind of lighthearted in some instances, but the truth of the matter is we're at a point right now where we are on a slippery slope and people are kind of forcing the hand of our government. Hey, you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're not with me. You're not with the founders, you're not a part of this nation.
Well, Trump, for instance, what you read before the break about Trump being out to saying he's going to defend Christianity, that the left wants to remove crosses. Well, that's all about painting the left liberals as the Antichrist, the people who are against morality, against the Christian state. That's my view of what all this talk about the Christian state is to set up a straw man to decide to create essentially the devil out of those who would be opposed to certain policies. And now here you hear Trump, who's the master of this kind of process, is trying to paint the liberal left as Antichrist, the people who are going to take down crosses. The only time a liberal or anybody, a libertarian, would want to take down a cross is if it was put up on the top of City Hall. Okay. At that point, it's not where it should be. A libertarian, a Senator Rand would be the first to step forward and say, no, you can't do that. That's not denying anyone religious freedom. That's just saying you shouldn't combine church with state.
All right, let's go to John from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, John. Thank you very much for listening. Your thoughts.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
I guess I should say, first of all, I think both you guys have such wonderful minds, balanced and even-minded, and it's nice to hear you on the radio.
Well, thank you.
Earl, I'm glad you made it to this destiny.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm honored.
I guess I want to say real quickly that I think we need some kind of format to understand what's going on with religion and science and art. Now, the Greeks talked about it with the words, the good, the true, and the beautiful. The good being morals / religion, the beautiful being art, and the true being science. So all three of those activities, all of man's activities can be categorized in one of those definitions, and really all three of them are really one, but we divide them in order to understand what we're doing. So one always affects the other. Like, as science advances, the good has to change, meaning religion has to accommodate itself to the changes of science. And art also changes. You know, like just in the last 100 years, we have electric music. Now we're having electric art displays. So art changes as our science changes. And we have to understand that things are things have to flow. 500 years ago, if the Pope had a heart transplant, they would have burned him to the stake, you know? But because science advanced, religion had to change its views. So I guess that's the main point I wanted to say. And it's a wonderful time in the sense that we can study the religions of the past, and we have an opportunity to transcend one belief system for all. A couple of years ago, I read the Ramayana. That's a book in India. And when the Ramayana was made into a TV show, it shut down India because everybody didn't go to work because they had to watch the Ramayana on TV. And that's about Rama, a god.
Hey, John, look, we got you. Thank you very much for the call, man. Thank you very much for listening.
No, John, that was, and actually the profundity of the Greek, the good, the true, and the beautiful is it's interesting. It's an interesting way to look at things, and it's absolutely true. And when they get perverted, we get medieval art. You know, two dimensional art, no depiction of the Lord in art. You know, the whole thing was run by rules, religious rules, and art went out the window. And the Renaissance was the reopening of the good, the true, and the beautiful. So interesting.
You know, Sandy, nobody's trying to trample on anybody's religious beliefs, because in America, everybody is entitled to their own, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what's supposed to separate us.
Yeah.
But yet we're at a time where people push against somebody else's beliefs.
Well, what's interesting is the religion has always been viewed as a very private matter, right? What your religion is doesn't matter to me. You're free to have your religion. But more recently, there's been this trend towards public displays of religion and a public affirmation of religion, and that public display and that public affirmation has become more important than the private exercise of religion and religious freedom. And it's just an interesting transition that I don't quite understand, that these public affirmations are more important than the private than the privacy and the freedoms that exist within that privacy.
And I might be able to even understand that, Sandy, if you're talking about just guys like you and I having that conversation. It's when it gets into the halls of government that we really got an issue, right?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, public affirmations are fine. I can kneel wherever I want to. I can, but if it has to be done through, by public, I mean governmental affirmations. If there needs to be a governmental affirmation, I don't quite understand it, because now we've crossed the road and we've crossed over from the privacy, the extreme liberty that's involved with total privacy relating to religion, to something that requires public affirmation.
All right, 844-967-2789. Tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, news, weather, and sports. La, la, la.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allbaugh. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The Biden administration has just released new details on hundreds of new sanctions against Russia in response.